From Studio 65, coming to you from the front seat of the roller coaster known as the Pesky Hamburglers. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 17 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. I'm Cardinal, he's Canuck, and he's Pan with indigestion from too many burgers. It's been an up and down few games, and while the news isn't as good as it was this time a week ago, the team's still fighting for a playoff spot and keeping us on the edge of our seats. Boys, welcome to April. It's still cold.
You had a hamburger yesterday.
Yeah.
And indigestion set in almost instantaneously, I believe.
So let's check the poll. We had the bet board when he's going to have his next hamburger. And the winner goes to?
I don't know.
Did you actually have that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Should have. Didn't think of that. Oh, well. Yeah,
just the heat that I got for actually getting sick.
You got heat for it?
Your sister? No. It's like when I tweeted out that I had to tap out.
Oh, okay.
And like people are just like, no, don't you dare. It's like, I'm dying.
Well, it's because you eat terrible hamburgers.
I know.
Like,
but apparently it works now. So, hey. So,
okay, then.
I also paid up my debt to money on the board, too.
Aha. Mm.
It's $118.
Ouch.
Yeah. So.
You should have a salad with each burger. That would lessen the blow. No French fries. Have a salad.
I can't risk it again.
Oh, you heard it, folks.
You got to go with what you know works, right?
Oh, okay. Quick reminder.
Kind of like Hoffman on the fourth line.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Quick reminders, the website is senscallups.com. The email address is podcast@senscallups.com. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-6565. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us in, some of us in Section 319, Row A. But not for very much longer.
So, you know, I switched out because it's weirdo night.
Oh, okay. So
I've
no
got
more.
One game left.
Oh, okay.
What am I going to do with all my time?
I don't know.
One game more.
That's really?
Les Mis.
I see. It's going to be one of those nights, is it? All right.
Game on!
Game 73, the Rangers were in town, and at this particular moment, the Senators were in a playoff spot, in a wild card spot.
The most important game of the year.
It was the fourth or fifth most important game. I think this was the fourth most important game of the year so far this season.
It was the 73rd most important game of the year.
Yeah, they're all kind of important. Good point by you. And this was where the streak came to an end, which we all knew it had to at some point. It was just unsustainable. But it came crashing down a little harder than perhaps some of us really wanted to. Now, to be completely honest and to come completely clean, I might have been part of the bad karma.
What'd you do?
Well,
did you have a Big Mac?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did you not have
it? I recommend you don't.
I didn't have a Big Mac either. No. Canuck actually called me on game day and said, hey, you want to go to the game? And I said no. And then an hour later, I got a call from another friend of mine and said, hey, I got tickets. Do you want to go to the game? And I said no. So I said no going to this game twice. I don't know whether that would have anything to do with karma or not. Maybe. I don't know. But I didn't go.
Ray, when the demon asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Possibly.
Paraphrase because I couldn't remember.
Not bad, though. Not bad. Excellent quote from a very good movie. Well played, sir. So I don't know whether that would be part of the bad karma going into this, you know, the negative going into this game, but I couldn't. I was so worn out by that night. I didn't even stay awake through this game. I was asleep before it ended.
I think the team was too.
Anyway.
Sloppy game.
From what I gathered, I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it. It was pretty sloppy. A 5-1 loss. Like, that's pretty lopsided.
Yep.
And it was against the backup goaltender who's really hot. Kind of, it was almost like, quite frankly, the Senators had done to them what we'd been doing to so many other teams.
Yep.
The backup goaltender, or in our case, third string, just on a hot streak. When the rest of the team, our team just wasn't. Now,
the team came out flat. Hammond was also hurt.
He was also hurt, exactly.
His back was hurting. So, you know, it's great when your back hurts. 4 lateral passes for shots. Because he got to push off and move, and he kept getting beat by that.
Well, they figured it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Now, this just in, the Rangers are a very, very good team.
The other thing.
This is not, we didn't get... You know, trounced 5-1 by Arizona.
Not this time, at least.
Yeah, but the Rangers went on to face who? Boston or Washington or something next? And they got
Carolina?
Smoked.
Carolina? Maybe? I can't remember. Anyway.
No, that keeps up.
Anything in particular you want to talk about this game? I mean, it was a bad game.
Driedger came in. He was actually really good.
Yep. So our 4th-string goaltender played a period and a half, and he did quite well.
The one thing I remember about this, so I was walking in, I got some free tickets to go. Thank you. You know who you are. And I got to the bottom of the stairs. I picked them up a will call. And as I'm looking up to the, you know, stairs that go up to the 200, 300 level, you know, on the top, right across the top of the stairs, a sign. And I think it's always been there, but I've never seen it before.
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh. This is our house.
Yes.
And the same thing in French.
You tweeted of this, I believe. Or at least you sent it to us.
I tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
So the team is fully on board of this is our house.
Now
for a minute there, I thought I was down at, you know, Bell Center or something with, oh, okay, this is our house. Good.
Now, when you went to the will call, did you have tickets under your actual name? Yes. Or under your podcast your name.
Under my actual name.
Okay. Because I've had tickets left at the will call under my podcast name. And it's actually very entertaining to walk up to the little will call window and say, yes, there's a ticket under my name. It's under the name of Cardinal. It's spelt with a K. There is no first name.
The rapper.
and actually, most of them have been really cool about it. They went, yeah, okay, sure, right. I'll go check for that. Ha ha ha. Figuring I'm making up the part about there's only one name and that it's spelled with a K. And then they come back and they went, there really is only one name. Well, do you have any ID with this name on it? Of course not. <It's->
Madonna.
But
Sting.
Most of them have actually been pretty Cardinal. Funny about the whole thing. Like, okay. What are the odds of somebody actually coming up and knowing that there's a ticket under Cardinal spelt with a K?
After listening to this episode, everyone's going to give it a shot now.
Try it for every game for the rest of the season.
You'll never get back
in. That's right. Anyway, okay, anything else from this game? Or should we move on? Because the next game is very important because there was a big adventure going on.
Well, it's also the biggest game of the year.
It was the next biggest game of the year. The next game of the year. Game 74. Yeah. Which was the Senators in Toronto to play the dreaded Blue Yard Waste. Now you
who had the brilliant idea of going to this?
I believe I'm looking at them right now.
It's an audio podcast. Eh?
I know, but you know who I'm looking at.
Oh, it was me. Granted, the thing is, well, I just really wanted the puck.
Most expensive puck of the year.
I don't know. I think a trip somewhere to a different country might be more expensive than a tank of fuel.
That's true.
At least I'm also seeing the rest of the city during that. But no, it's, well, I can't remember when I got this idea too, but I
think it's Tuesday.
While we were recording.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Wednesday.
Just before.
Because the one thing that I thought about is, one, Leaf tickets are always dramatically expensive.
True.
So this is the opportunity to get tickets lower than average price. Two, because people just weren't going to the games, it's not going to be hostile.
We'll talk about that.
And I wanted a puck.
There you
I
go.
Also had no plans.
But you did actually get tickets, and there you did also organize to meet at least a couple of people, listeners and so on.
It was a weekend.
It's an experience.
It kind of seemed like everything was lining up.
It was like, for you. You got down the day before.
Yeah, like everything was kind of lining up that, you know, we could do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did it. Spontaneous.
And you took the train down the night before, which is the more human way to travel.
I took the train down on the Friday.
More human way
to travel. Pan actually drove down Saturday.
Crazy.
Picked
up Puddle Duck on the way.
Picked up Puddle Duck.
And then we all
So what
came
did you
back.
Eat on the way? Where did you stop along the 401 for a burger?
Oh, just Tim Hortons.
Oh, no burger?
Did I have a... No, I didn't because we lost.
Damn it. You're ruining my shtick here. But you went to some moosey place for supper.
Yep. So we met up with CB Inc. and Stukatoo.
Yes.
The Loose Moose. The Loose Moose.
I do like the Loose Moose.
There you go. No burgers there?
There was a lot of Sens fans
what
around.
What did I have? Oh, no, Anderson was playing, so I got chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Okay. Nuggets.
Chicken.
You couldn't eat something healthy.
He didn't want to eat frozen chicken.
Okay.
I did get a side salad, though.
Okay.
Now, I met CB Inc. earlier in the day met him for lunch at a place called Bacon Nation.
Yes, up on Spadina.
Sent you the menu. Mm-hmm. Everything's bacon.
Excellent idea.
He had a burger. He had the
plates were bacon, the glasses were bacon, the forks were bacon, the
Absolutely.
Bacon were bacon.
Mm. He had the pig mac.
Oh.
Now is that pork with bacon?
Something like that.
Beef? Yeah.
Instead of the Big Mac. So he had a pig mac. Now I had bacon poutine. And it was poutine with bacon bits, and then you order it and say, would you like strips of bacon on that too?
Is this a trick question?
Like hell yeah. So,
all right. So to the game.
I don't know. I think some other stuff was more interesting. But let's see. What else did we do? We went down and CB Inc. and I tried to go into Steam Whistle to do the tour of the brewery.
Yes,
it was actually all the tours were sold out, but we did get a little complimentary, sample, I guess.
You went to that picture.
We walked into the train museum right next door.
Mm-hmm.
A little small. But there's it's like one room.
Oh.
And but there is a little train simulator, and I got to pull the train, so I got my you know, kind of goal horn sound going.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then yeah, we met. I guess not too long after that, Pan and Puddle Duck made their way locally. We went over to the Loose Moose.
There you go.
And then to the game.
And then to the game.
Yep.
Now, where were you sitting? I don't even know this.
323, 300 level, six rows up.
Yep. That's not bad,
then. Not bad. Not bad.
What do you think of the arena? I've been there before, nice. But it's been...
It's nice. It's like okay.
14, 15 years since I've been in there.
It's that old now? Wow.
Yeah. 2000 it opened.
Time just flies.
Maybe 1999.
96.
Wow. Actually, 99. 98, 99.
Okay.
That's when I was in Toronto.
But... No, well, the, wow. Obviously the location of it is. You can't get any better than that.
Oh, yeah. Location's great. Yeah.
When you get given the land for free.
Honestly?
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's easy to build a downtown arena when you don't pay for the land.
Yeah.
Don't get any ideas, Melnick, because it ain't going to happen.
I find the building itself, you know, okay, it's about 10 years, 8 years newer than Canadian Tire Center. So, yeah, it's a little nicer, a little bit more modern. You can get some nice little options there in terms of maybe concessions a little nicer, you know, like escalators between floors. Mm. Slightly more modern. Slightly. But okay. The actual sitting experience, the actual arena from a viewing, not as good.
No.
Sorry.
It's not as good. Steep, is it? So
it's steeper.
Away. Oh, it's steeper.
Yeah.
So you had the bars in front of you.
Oh.
On a 300 level, every seat has a bar in front of you.
That's really?
To prevent falling. But.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Vancouver's
like Vancouver,
that
yeah. I didn't know they had those in Toronto.
Bell Center has that too, right?
I don't know. I haven't been in there either.
I really find that the mix and match of colors for the seats is...
That's tradition going back to Maple Leaf Gardens.
Now, our sight lines were perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with our sight line. But the arena itself, it's not bad, but you know what?
The screen was more letterbox and or more widescreen than ours.
A little smaller,
so it seems
a little
smaller
different.
Than ours.
It's older,
though. You'd think you could have just upgraded. Comparing everything to Tampa.
The biggest thing, and I know we talked about it several times, Pan, was the atmosphere seemed a little down. Now, we're coming in there late in the season. We know how the Leafs have been playing. We've read all the things. You know, they're being down and people aren't showing up, allegedly. You know, they're not selling out, allegedly, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, maybe it's not the best sample size. Yeah, like, we can go to games here at the Canadian Tire Center where it's not the best. But if it's a Battle of Ontario, it's usually pretty good, even if we're both sucking.
But they know that they're bad.
The
people that just went?
The team's coming out. Like, they're skating out. You know, they announce them. You know, welcome back the first period, second period, third period, and just...
Nothing.
Might as well be playing elevator music.
Ooh.
Which they pretty much were.
Didn't they just recently tweet that they were improving the in-game experience?
Wasn't very good.
Really?
But the music was a lot lower versus what Alex does.
At least
zero energy. The host was dull.
Yeah.
I've heard that the game experience isn't great, but I mean, even the crowd can be pretty quiet there.
The crowd can be quiet here.
Yeah.
But what I find, like, no matter what, even if it's a down game, it's boring and the crowd's not into it, at least they're trying. Like, you know, Alex will
make some
still
noise.
Play, you know, they'll still like play like the pump up music when they come out and all that stuff. And I don't know. I just felt no pump up at all, which didn't bother me, being the away fan, but just surprised me.
Yeah. Again, I didn't want it to be hostile.
Yeah.
I think honestly, it just felt like the people that went to the game were there because, I've spent the money on the tickets. I might as well go.
Yeah. I already have them. Not looking forward to it, but I already have them.
What'd you think of the fans? No, serious question.
The one behind us?
Oh. Well, you can mention, there was a Sens fan about two or three rows behind us with the most high-pitched squeal the whole time.
Like a mousy voice, but then she'd yell.
No. Voice that'll shatter glass.
Scream when they come over the blue line. Oh, everything. It was great.
Lovely. I'm sure the people around her enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, great story for it.
I was thinking more of the Leafs fan. What'd you think? For us, our experience.
For us?
I was very impressed. I had no trouble at all. I didn't think we had any trouble. We're four guys coming in wearing Sens jerseys.
But we're not asshats.
But we're not asshats. And we actually joke with the people around us.
Yeah, like, you're not being a jerk.
Puddle Duck's joking with the usher. And, you know, the guys behind us and the usher came over, took our picture, and then we turned around and said, hey, guys, you want to get like a fighting pose and stuff? Like, you know, just having a good time. Because we know
it's the usher,
not our house.
The usher also welcomed us.
Yeah.
It was very pleasant.
Oh, yeah.
Showed us where the seats were. That's do cool. that in Canadian Tire Center.
They do if you look lost.
If you if ask you, them. I mean, they don't do that for you because, well, you're wearing Sen stuff, so you should know your way around.
Yeah. She did it for everyone.
Oh, well.
She did it. It was very welcoming.
Yes, but does every usher in the ACC do that?
I don't know.
Can't say.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a lot of customer service training.
Hot dog and Coke Zero?
Mm-hmm.
$63.
What? Hot dog and Coke Zero.
And a ticket.
Damn. And a ticket for what?
It was $11.
Oh.
So what is it here? $9.75?
$9.50.
Well, I got a little bit of Crown Royal Maple Whiskey. And Puddleduck took a picture of it.
Yeah, it looked like urine.
Yeah. That was the
joke.
You're
walking around with a urine sample.
That was the joke.
But it was real maple whiskey?
It was the Crown Royal maple finished.
Oh, the Crown Royal. And?
Yep. Oh, I've had it before.
Okay.
It was $16 for that. It was a double shot. Double shot.
$16.
That's why we took
so
a picture
expensive.
Of it.
So expensive.
That's why we took a picture.
Oh. I think my heart has started again now.
Yep.
That's insane. It's not surprising.
And it's funny when I'm ordering it, they say, how do you want this? And I'm just like, no ice. Like, oh, no. We have to have either have a mix it or on ice. I'm like, really? I'll just put it on ice. And then they were like, just give minimal ice. And I could see they're really dithering about this. I'm like, what's the deal with this? It's like, well, it's a rule for when we're serving this. We don't want to, we're trying to discourage shots. So you have to serve it with a mix. Like, I don't know. What do you do? Whiskey
what are you
and Coke?
Maple whiskey and Coke? Way to ruin a perfectly good whiskey.
Or with ice, I guess. And somehow the ice stops you from shooting it.
I suppose.
Also, who's going to shoot whiskey for $16?
You better be savoring it for that kind of
even
price.
Phil Kessel's holding back on those shots.
Then again, I was at a Senators game last year where four guys next to me, not this size of beer can, as I hold up a King can,
the tall
of Lancaster Bomber. Not this size, but the ones that are a double regular can, so seven something.
Yeah.
Okay, between four guys, they drank 17 of them.
Whoa!
Yeah.
And those things are what?
12.
But they're $14 a piece, aren't they?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
And they drank 17 of them between four of them in a game.
Business expense?
I don't know, but I think that's a lot of beer. Anyway.
That's why I don't take the bus home from...
Let's get to the game now that we've talked about Toronto for 20 minutes.
Sure.
Senators played very well. The... Just until the third period where they gave up two-goal leads.
The Curtis Lazar goal was beautiful.
That was the sort of knuckleball one.
How did you feel? Did you feel they played well?
I thought they played well.
I felt they played to their opponent a bit.
Yeah.
I felt like...
It was very lazy.
At times, but they were also showing... When they actually kind of put their foot down until the third period, they were they really did carry the game for
second period, long, they came out stretches. And they carried it. Second period, I remember
long
that.
Stretches of game, yep. They did actually carry it.
And but these were the easiest zone entries I've ever seen.
The problem in the third, Toronto. The third problem in the third period, I think, was they tried to defend a lead. They stopped playing the way that they were winning,
yep.
And tried to defend a lead. And once they got scored on once, well, they started spinning around in their own end zone and got scored on again.
Yep,
and again,
it was just the
overtime was wide open. It was a coin toss.
I don't know it's two games now. I think in a row that. Or no, I guess it was probably the next one, but Anderson just somehow ends up way out of the net.
Well, he's trying. I think he's realizing how much he has to try and do in a situation like that.
Or he's just his timing's off because he's getting back into it. And
maybe a bit rusty. My question is,
weird.
And I'm not saying this in a bad way, but Dave Cameron has a very firm hand of control. He gets what he wants. Like, this is how I want you to play. This is how you will play, or you won't get ice time. Mike Hoffman, as a prime example of this, which we'll talk about in a bit. But when the team starts going into this defensive shell, if he's not telling them to do this, why are they doing it?
Like human nature?
No, they must be being told to do it.
They must be being told, defend the lead.
Don't take any unnecessary risks. I'm sure they must be. They don't know how to do it yet.
Well, they don't know how to do it, but more than that, if offense was working, why are you stopping this? Because you have a game the next night against Tampa? Fine. Yeah. Fine. Worry about your energy level in that one. And if you lose the second one, fine. But don't try and conserve it in the first one when you need points. Win the first one, then worry about winning the second one.
There's 10 minutes left in the third.
Exactly. 10 minutes left in the third. Why are you going into energy conservation mode with 10 minutes left in the third? Keep playing the way you've already played. Win the game. No overtime.
Well, it worked for Toronto against Boston when they had a 4-1 lead.
So the Senators...
Yeah, the thing is, well, we've seen it with other teams too, with Boston, and I don't know if the Rangers did it this game. But they know how to shut down a game. We don't have the players to do it.
I don't think we have the system.
Or we've never had the situation to have those leads, so we don't know what to do.
We don't have the system to do it. I think we probably have the right players, we just need to do it the right way. Not everybody plays the shutdown.
No, that could be an argument. You say, okay, well, we don't have enough experience and haven't been doing it enough, so let's, when we get the chances, let's practice it.
Yep.
So
practice it in practice.
Well,
don't practice it in a playoff drive.
But I only have been to practice.
And I know there's a lot of talk about Carlson not being on the ice when you're leading in the last minutes or in these points of the game. But he takes the puck away. So he's not that bad defensively.
No.
Or if you want to do that, shake up the D and put Mathod out there with someone else.
I've seen that. I've seen Mathod out.
I didn't notice it.
Not in this game. It was I think it was the San Jose game where they were trying to conserve minutes for Carlson in the third period. Mathod was playing with Barvievsky.
Yep. Which you want to shut it down? That's what you
do. That'll work.
But you can't. Yeah, you can't pull Mathod out of there.
But you know this best guy. This Toronto game really goes down to not being aggressive on the open net, the empty net. Sorry. They had a chance to put it away, missed it.
Yeah.
And then
they tied it.
Well, you know, compare that to the next game we're about to talk about where the opposition leaped on an empty net and put the dagger in their hearts.
Before we leave Toronto.
We can't all be the Dallas Stars.
There were two things I was supposed to mention. Actually, only one left.
Okay.
You sent me a note that I don't even know what this means. So I'm just going to mention it and you can go. You said, make sure we talk about DACA Speedwagon. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
No, never mind.
Okay.
Is DH Speedwagon.
DHS Speedwagon? Something. Yeah. Just a Twitter. A gentleman, we didn't get to meet him. He was down the 100 levels. But if you find his Twitter account, he had a bad experience at the game.
Oh.
Including
this was a guy whose hat got thrown on the ice.
Oh, that guy.
His hat, I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah. Like somebody took the hat off his head and threw it on the ice for
Bozak. It was a Bozak hat trick, I think. And,
nice. Yeah. Stay classy. So, okay, well then
I realized that until then he tweeted a picture of his hat because he got it back and he had leaves stuck and stitched into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse the action of somebody else.
No, but it's egging them on.
No, but he had one of those nights.
Mac.
All I know is that there was one point, and it obviously was at that time, where the entire 300 level was standing up and looking down into the 100 level because apparently... he had him by the collar at one point, and then someone dumped a beer on him, tried to diffuse the situation.
Like that'll work.
Mm-hmm. Usher and security got involved. And
The fans really got into it as the team played better, as the Leafs played better.
Well, yes.
That makes sense.
So that guy in front of us jumping up and down?
Oh, he was so excited.
Well, good for him.
It's good for him.
Yeah.
They didn't chirp us at all, except for one guy that was like 75 years old who just kind of waved at me goodbye.
Yeah.
It's like, what, you got 3 months left to live? Blow me.
Well,
it's like we didn't chirp or anything all game.
No.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yes. No big deal. Next game. Let's get through these games. We've been talking about them for way too long. Next game was game 75, the Panthers versus the Senators. This was last Sunday. It was a 4-2 loss. Oh. Both teams traveled because they had games the night before. The one thing that I noticed about this game, now I didn't actually see this game. Because I had something going on.
I was there
Sunday
and I was so tired.
I didn't see it.
But I did notice in the lead up to it, everything that was coming out was that all the lines got juggled.
That's all I heard.
And I found that a very interesting strategy from the coach who has said, I don't like to juggle lines, that he juggled them all. And
he really screwed these up.
To me, that seemed like a panic move. This team, okay, you've lost two after going 14-0-2, and now you're going, okay, we need to change everything. That just looked like a panic move to me. I didn't see the game. You want to warn us the next time you're going to do that?
I just like watching Pan jump.
The juggling music? Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything to say about this game because I didn't see it, didn't listen to it, didn't have anything.
Very tentative, very slow.
And they lost.
Up down to nothing quite early.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't know.
That's a game sheet.
And then they got within a goal.
Jágr was unbelievable.
The usual.
Yeah.
Oh, that wraparound goal. My God.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Oh, that was the goal that everyone's saying, oh, Anderson just can't handle wraparounds. He's no good with them.
Oh, well, no, I tweeted that. It's like, well, it's gotten a wraparound, but that Jágr goal was just beautiful.
It's Jágr. He can still do it.
Yeah, unbelievable.
At 41? 41? 42?
Something like that.
Something like that. Anyway. That game.
Yeah, outplayed. Anything? And these are the important games of the year, and you're just going to let it wash away like this.
Well, they've all been important, and you can't
win
them all.
Three losses in a row. 1 point to show out of possible six.
14-0-2. Do the math. Average it out.
I know.
Because if they'd had a loss every four games rather than three in a row after 14-0-2, nobody would be worrying about it. They'd be still going, we're still
within
three.
It's just sucky timing.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the sentiment.
You got to bear down against the Leafs.
I mean, that was the sentiment of CB Inc. and Puddle Duck, right? It's like, why these guys? Why do we have to lose to these idiots?
Well, Toronto just beat Tampa last night.
Yeah. You know? I don't care. They can go on a streak now all they want.
No, but I mean, all I'm saying is that it's not beyond the realm of possibility for them to have a winning game or two or three.
Yeah.
And maybe get them, you know, further up in the standings so they get an even smaller chance at Connor McDavid, even though every Leafer in Ontario is
getting him. We know this league has a lot of parity, so we shouldn't be surprised once in a while when an Arizona or a Buffalo knocks off somebody big.
Exactly. It's not that surprising. So on to game 76, which was last night. In Detroit.
The most important game of the year.
Number 8 or 7, 9, whatever it was. And this was a 2-1 shootout win that really wasn't very interesting. It was a boring game. Nothing at all happened. It was just whatever.
Low scoring. Ho-ho. This game?
Yes. Okay. That's what I get from playing with my phone.
Oh, I got the hook set in that one pretty well. There was a very, very scary moment early in the first period when Drew Miller got one of Mark Stone's skates up under his visor and it caught him in the orbital bone and on the inside of his nose.
All down on the
It missed his eye.
Awful.
I'm not really sure, but that was a really, really ugly picture.
I think it's just a case of his eye. You know, your eye is in a cavity, right?
Yeah.
The blade.
It just went across the top of it almost. But that was
scary.
That was very, very scary. I saw parts of the game and missed parts of the game.
Was a Mark Stone show.
Yeah. Well,
early in the third period, the shots on goal were Ottawa 30, Detroit 10, Mark Stone 7.
Yeah. He was all over the place.
Mike Hoffman got reunited with Zibanejad and Ryan with 6 minutes left in the game, and MacArthur tied it with 5 minutes left in the game.
Big surprise.
And the shootout was either a lot of great skaters, or some not so great goaltending.
Goalies.
Yeah, the goalies were a little weak.
Very good.
A little weak. But Mrazek had an unbelievable game.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable game.
Yep. And Stone's game winner too was just gold.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
So
they had to throw stones on the ice.
Well,
that'd be a terrible habit.
Yeah.
Oh, get the place rocking.
Yeah.
So this was also
and the Nyquist goal was pretty weak too.
Was that?
The Nyquist goal was pretty weak.
Well, it was also the result of a broken
play. Hammond. Yeah, but he froze Hammond.
The post and in. I don't know.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
This was also a Sens marketing event.
This was the Sens X Casino night. So tell us about it.
What a terrible acronym. Yes. Sens X Casino.
I don't understand what the X Casino is supposed to be.
If you put an E in there and you got Sens Sex Casino.
Well, that's the way it always seems to read to me.
Because
that tells you something about my mind, I suppose.
I don't know.
But I don't understand Sens. What is it? What's the X for? Is Sens Times Casino? Sens by Casino?
I don't know.
I don't understand it. Anyway, tell us about the experience.
Made up some really weird ones, anyways.
Kind of like an organized tweet up.
Yep, it's fun. Lots of great prizes.
Yep, giveaway jerseys and
again, when you ask internet people to get together in public.
Now, is it describe the situation? I presume you're not amongst the gaming tables. You're
no, they have electronic tables that you can play.
Are you familiar with the zone?
Nope. I've only been to the casino enough to pick people up for Operation Rouge. I've never been inside.
So it's what is we're in the back corner of this place.
Yeah, it's
so where they have the
but it's
zone.
More of a secluded area.
Yeah,
that's fine because you're not allowed to use your phones really in the casino.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. Stuff. So it's
but
all
that's
separate
a secluded area,
area
so okay. It's fine. Like and it's also electronic tables too.
Is it a special event area? Like they do things like this?
Not really. It's normally I think an area where they do rapid games. Like you have a whole bunch of tables and they look like they're set up to play video versions of Baccarat, Blackjack, and Roulette and stuff. And there's a guy up front and you can just kind of rapid play them, but they shut that down. It was just then the TVs are showing the Sens games. I think people could use those machines to play something if they wanted to.
But, I don't think a lot of people were.
No, people really were sitting and watching the game and they had food and they had a little fire there.
They did a good job of that.
They had a referee who was kind of, every time there was commercial break, intermission, would ask trivia questions and that sort of thing.
They didn't like any of my tweets.
So it was fun, though.
They did a good job.
Okay.
They did a good job. Granted, I was just bastardizing all their questions.
Could be worse.
And they had a little like a tag board. So if you tweeted your picture or your text would go up on there, but it was moderated.
Yeah. That's why none of my shit showed up.
So it wasn't like Sea of Blue.
Sea of Blue or TSN on trade deadline day. That's good.
Yeah, I think Craig was moderating that.
I believe so. Yeah.
Well, it would make sense. Got to have somebody doing it. Mm-hmm. So,
but no, fun. It's fun.
Did you win anything?
It's nice. No, again, I guess I was bastardizing.
No,
all the
no bobbleheads, no sweaters, no. No. T-shirts?
No.
Oh. Bobbleheads are always good to give away. That's why I asked.
Yeah. Oh, at the Leafs game.
Kevin Lee's got tons of the tourist ones for this Summer Fan Fest.
Oh, good for him.
Actually, at the Leafs game, we won something. The cheerleading squad or whatever the ushers came on there throwing T-shirts, right?
Okay.
To the loudest fans, and they're right in our section. So one came over our... I was sitting next to Puddle Duck, and we both leaped up and got our hands on it, and he had the better grip. So he got it. Immediately after, he grabs this Toronto Maple Leaf shirt. He's like, almost like, and gives it to me. And I had the same reaction, like, what the heck? And I just turned around and give it to the Leaf fan behind us. But,
oh, good. Very civilized of you.
I guess we could have kept it and throw our jerseys, but it wouldn't have worked out.
Throw it right back on the ice.
Light it on fire, then throw it on the ice.
No.
That works better. Especially when it hits Molotov the netting and then t-shirt. falls on the people in the front row of the 100s.
And then, the netting's probably all nylon, so that
it goes up. Think of the fun you could have. Not that I'm advocating
this
anything.
Is
like,
our house.
I'm not advocating this. I'm just thinking it would be, entertaining.
It's like a Nickelback song. Burn it to the ground.
One net at a time. I had noted down a bunch of players, which we could talk about.
Yep.
Any in particular you wanted? I had Anderson in there, and I think his play has been
fine.
Adequate.
It's what been is going adequate. On?
Puddle Duck was furious.
People are going a little cuckoo.
I'm going a little cuckoo on it, but why is the team playing differently in front of him? It's not Anderson's fault.
I agree wholeheartedly. I don't know why they play differently in front of him.
And it's freaking annoying.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
If you guys think that they played badly in front of Anderson, you don't remember how they played in front of Leonard.
They played badly in front of Leonard, too. I agree.
It was even worse.
Well, that was also early in the season when they were playing badly in front of everybody.
Yes.
Early in the season, the team was struggling and playing badly in front of everybody.
Like, I understand the initial Hammond thing on the road trip. Oh, my goodness, here's this young kid. He's going to get thrown to the wolves. We got to clamp down. We got to help him out. And all of a sudden, it starts catching wind, and they support it, and it's exciting and stuff. But
I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense. But
is it just that you want to go to war for this guy, and you don't really care about the others? Is it a psychological thing?
I think it may
I wonder.
Be.
I wonder.
Is it a systematic?
Oh, we got a good guy back. We don't have to backcheck as much. He's got it. Like what? Oh,
I think it's actually probably more like he doesn't need as much protection. I can be a bit more
loose. Yep.
Not loose, but aggressive, maybe, but is a better word. I don't have to be as defensive. I don't have to be as stalwart. I can be a bit more go get 'em.
Well, I think Anderson and Hammond need to just trade jerseys. Whatever they got to do to make this thing work.
Well, Anderson will need to wear
Mighty
colored
Ducks
contacts.
Style?
Yes.
Yeah.
The blue eyes will give him away behind his mask. He'll have
contacts.
To wear colored contacts. Grow a beard.
Whatever you got to do. Shave your head. Whatever you got to do.
We'll have to see. Mike Hoffman. He was on the first line in air quotes, fourth line in air quotes. He's on the power play. Where you start is not always where you finish.
Well, that's true.
There was a very, very good point made, I think it was on the radio on Monday, about him moving around. And everyone goes, he's a great goal scorer. He's scoring all the time. Why are you putting him down on the fourth line? It's not because he doesn't score goals. It's because he's not very effective defensively.
Straight lines.
He's not very effective defensively. There are too many chances given up when he's on the ice.
Oh, I wanted to get that clip. The coach kept saying, him and Zibanejad not skating in straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
They kept going on and on about straight lines.
Instead of north-south.
Mm-hmm.
And TSN 1200 did this little clip where they played the background music to Blurred Lines, and they overdubbed Dave Kramer saying, straight lines, straight lines. It was brilliant. I couldn't
hear
find
that. I wish I'd heard that. So I think that's at least part of why Hoffman's been moving around, is because there are just too many chances against. Simple as that. Nothing more than that. Somewhat similar to Jared Cowan. There was a really good explanation. I'm trying to remember who it was who was on talking about him the other day. It was a former defenseman, but I can't remember who it was. I was on the radio. And basically said, the team wants him to be physical. That's what they want him to be when he's on the ice. But
he's not
being physical because he doesn't have enough confidence in the rest of his game. So if he screws up being physical, the rest of his game isn't up to snuff. So he's not being physical because he's trying to make sure that the rest of his game doesn't suffer.
We've seen him like double clutch and whatever it was. Remember when he got speared in the nuts? And he's like, I should fight him, but I don't want to, but I should. And the moment's over now.
Yep, but it's because he's
always
just not
doubting
sure what
himself.
To do. He's doubting himself because every time he makes a mistake, he's out of the lineup. He can't make a mistake, so he spends all his time trying not to make a mistake. He's not doing what he was told, be physical, because he's too busy trying to not make a mistake.
That definitely seems to be going on.
Well, you can't live your life that way.
Nope.
No, that's true.
And if that's the way, you know, that's what you're trying to do because you want to play. The bottom line is you want to play.
That happened to Weerkosh too, I think, earlier in the season.
Absolutely it did. And he's been able to, I mean, he's not a physical guy. He's 6'5" and 220 pounds, and he's just not physical. He's almost like a Philip Kuba.
His strides really should be better, though.
He's
not a good skater.
He's kind of like Philip Kuba, but bigger.
Weerkosh
is not a good skater.
But he's positionally sound most of the time.
I mean, he
and CeCe have off games now and then, but most of the time they play pretty well together. Mm-hmm. So they work. If he was more physical, I think that would take away from his game. So you got to trade that off. Kind of like Philip Kuba. Not a particularly big guy, not particularly physical, positionally sound.
But he's the reason Carlson got that.
Oh, whatever.
He was a very good partner for Carlson that year because he let Carlson kind of do his thing, not in the same way that Mathot does.
The same
it
way
now.
That Gonchar was for.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, and he's doing that for CeCe.
Yeah, Kuba was in the league long enough that he knew what to do.
Yeah.
And you just help him out. Cowan just needs. Leave him on the 5-6.
He needs time to be able to make mistakes and get back into his game.
And put him against lower competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Put him in the 5-6.
Just build him up that way. It's just now the contracts, you're not going to say that he's a 5-6, but you have him, and that's all you can really do.
I was going to say, play him in what he can do, not what he's getting paid for. Mm-hmm. You can't put him in a position for what he's getting paid for because it's not going to work. At least not right now.
Well, they've tried it for the last 2 years.
But you also have to remember he's 24 years old, but he has the time on ice equivalent of a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old.
Yeah, he might still come around.
Because he's missed 2 years due to injury. So he doesn't have as much experience. Like, he's older, but he doesn't have as much time on ice as a lot of other players do.
Yeah, that's why just leave him on 5-6 until you figure it out.
We'll have to see.
And he may never be the 3-4 because of the lost time. And you can't say that he's recovering from an injury anymore. It's just he's just not going to get to that level.
Well, he needs to play to be able to. If he can get there, he needs to play. So, you know, maybe next year, don't know. Or maybe he gets traded somewhere else. Don't know.
And I take Cowan over Greiba any day.
Greiba's been struggling of late, to be completely honest.
When you look at the truth, if you can only keep one, I'm keeping Cowan.
Isn't Cowan a. No, he's.
Cowan's got a couple years left.
No, I'm just trying to. Cowan plays right inside. I can't remember if Cowan plays the...
And does it really matter?
Well, it does, actually, because moving a defenseman from one side to the other does matter.
I know Greiba was...
Greiba's taking a lot of penalties, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. He always takes one stick one game.
You could say that for a guy that makes duck and wild calls, he sure takes a lot of bad calls. Okay, that was...
I wasn't sure where you were. Moving on.
They're opposite sides.
Yeah. Couple of quick notes. Injured players. I haven't seen anything on Leonard yet. Nothing.
No.
Nothing at all. McCulloch was out skating on Monday with Phillips and Neil before the rest of the team's practice.
Hand in hand?
Yes. They were actually doing the can-can.
No. It's McCulloch and Phillips that are like holding hands with Neil and they're swinging him like you do with a kid.
Oh, yes.
That's sweet.
One, two, three. Whee!
Pumple is out with a high ankle sprain, so he'll be out for a little while.
He's out for the rest of the season.
MacArthur's back in the lineup, which is good news.
Yeah, he's done well. You know what's great? When the opposite, I think it's been the last two games now, every time he gets into a scrum and the opposition punches him in the face, the rest of the team jumps right in.
Well, as they should.
That happened in Toronto. The puck went up into the netting and dude came from behind and whammed him into the boards. Like, this guy just got back from a concussion. Thanks. Helmet came off too, I think.
Good to see the team sticking up for him. I like that. One little sort of sad piece of news, well, not sad, but serious piece of news, is the assistant coach, Mark Reeds. His cancer is back, and this time it's non-operable. So that's why he's been away. And, I mean, the last time I saw him, he's been missing games here and there.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And last time I saw him, he was looking not well, to be completely honest. Mm. Looks like he's... I mean, I'm not trying to be really negative about this, but he kind of reminds me of Brian Murray about a year ago, where he lost a lot of weight. I mean, Brian Murray hasn't put all of that weight back on, but he's put some on, and he's got color.
He's still getting the chemo. Yeah.
Excuse me. But at least, best wishes to Coach Reeds, but it may not be a particularly good story long term. Couple of quick moments on Binghamton. I haven't talked Binghamton in a while. And there was a good interview with Luke Richardson on the radio yesterday, and I managed to write down, a few notes.
Did he say, I don't know why Shane Prince is still down here?
I do have notes on Shane Prince, actually. Yes, I do. The team up to yesterday had lost three in a row, but they had won three in a row before that. So it's been an up and down year for the team. They're not going to make the playoffs. They are fourth in league scoring. They score a lot of goals. The problem is they're also near worst in the league for goals against. Not good.
Not really us anymore.
Shane Prince has no goals in the past three games, but he's...
I think he scored tonight.
Luke Richardson was saying that the big difference they've seen in Shane Prince this year, he's always been a goal scorer, but he's getting better when he has the puck in traffic. He's much better at protecting it when he has it, but he's also much better defensively, i.e., when we don't have the puck, he's much sounder than he used to be. He's showed he can play at the NHL level, and he should be ready for another shot when and where is up to Ottawa. But as far as Luke Richardson is concerned, he's very driven. He's ready to do more. Just give him another opportunity. Now, he was also saying that this is a team, Binghamton is now a team that's very young in term of experience. They lost a lot of veterans in the past few years, either coming up to Ottawa or just leaving the team and going on elsewhere. Like
Feel Costa. Free to take Colin Greening back.
Yeah, well, maybe. It's a rather expensive contract to take, but we'll have to see.
He's going
to
get bought out anyway.
But he was also saying that there's been a lot of individual progress. Like the individual players are progressing and developing, but it's not really showing at a team level just yet. It should be better next year. Some more ice time for players this year will pay dividends for next year. In talking about goaltending without Hammond, he said it's been similar to the rest of our game. We've had some weeks that are good, some weeks that are bad. We're not playing our best offensively. That puts a lot of stress on our goalies. Whoever happens to be in goal, sometimes they're just having a bad night because the team in front of them is having a bad night. Greenham and Menino have been doing as well as can be expected. Chris Drider is starting the next game. because he's down there now. So they have three goaltenders down there. He basically said, in the past few years, there's been a luxury of having a lot of very good talent, and a lot of it has graduated, so we're not as heavy with talent or veteranness, his word. It's cyclical. They're in the growth stage, but they'll have to see where they sit next year. He has higher expectations for next year.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't go to Buffalo next year.
Can't say. No. Babcock's going to Buffalo.
We'll probably be,
So how about that Sens
Mile?
We'll
probably need an assistant or an assistant coach too.
How about that Sens Mile?
That was on the list of things to talk about.
It wasn't done. Before.
Is Peter Chiarelli related to Rick Chiarelli?
Yes, he is. Cousin, I believe.
Because I know that Rick Chiarelli, the counselor, is second cousin to our former mayor.
Mm-hmm. And that's the brother.
Oh, is that the brother? I can't keep them all straight.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The counselor is the brother to the ex-mayor, who's the cousin to Peter Chiarelli.
So do you think there's any family conspiracy on this one?
It's a dumb move no matter what.
I agree.
It was a marketing move?
If it's a marketing...
For who?
For Rick Chiarelli.
Elgin Street.
Oh, for Rick Chiarelli, maybe.
No, it was for Rick Chiarelli because...
Yeah, I don't know if that's his writing or not.
And his picture's out there in the middle of... wearing a 7-year-old Sens Mars Bar jersey, like with the Senegoth on it. Or, like, come on.
Yeah.
If you're going to promote the team, at least be current.
Yeah. Get a current sweater, not one that was 3/3 sweaters ago. Yeah. The one with all the gold on the bottom. Yeah. Really bad. The first two-eyed logo one.
The Senegoth.
Senegoth. That's good. I like
that. Well, it's not like you got playoff tickets in the mail or anything. I got my
didn't open
tickets.
It.
Oh.
Don't know what it is.
That's a logistics thing.
I see.
The Bruins have announced their playoff tickets for sale too.
They're putting them for sale.
They're for sale.
So you can get your single game tickets there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're just logistics and getting the tickets out just in case.
I agree with you that I think it was a stupid move to even think about putting up Sens Mile before we're in the playoffs. It's just dumb because we're not there yet. That's something that belongs in the playoffs, not now. And
the chances of you eating crow are so high.
Well, the other thing is, do you expect anybody to be down on Elgin Street? Do you expect more people to be on Elgin Street before the playoffs because you announced that?
People are barely going to the games.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't feel like playoffs because it's too flipping cold out.
That such a good idea for a city to do, declare one street as the place people should go?
Keeps them in one area.
Eh.
As it was.
You know,
meanwhile, there was the big official Sens house is in the market.
Yeah.
Not on Elgin Street.
Yes. There's so much dumb stuff that happened right before that losing streak started. And if you were superstitious, you could just point your finger and have a field day with it. There was Pan stop eating his hamburgers. There was the Sens Mile. There was Health Canada giving warning to people about consuming too many hamburgers. I guess Pan should listen. But like... There's the whole food bank thing, people don't waste your hamburgers throwing on the ice. You know,
that was so needy. Ottawa.
And it's like the city that fun forgot. Thank you, I forgot I was in Ottawa. As Stooley said, like, good.
It was pretty bad. Now, let some people have some fun for once. Is it too much to ask?
Is this really an epidemic? It's two games where burgers came on the ice. It's not sustainable. Yeah. Like, don't.
And it's not like 100 burgers.
No. I just wish people would wait until the final buzzer to throw them.
Yes.
That's all. That's all I have. That's my own. You can throw as many burgers as you want after that, but don't throw them before the game's over. Even if you're like, well, I want to throw my burger so I can get out to the car. I don't care.
No, it's still cold. Don't be stupid.
Yeah. Don't be stupid. Around the league, let's get away from the Senators. I think we've thrashed that to death pretty hard.
How do we get an hour out of this?
Yeah, we tried. Yesterday was Gordie Howe's 87th birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Hockey.
Hey, that game in Detroit.
Thanks for the 2 points.
Yeah.
It's a great goodie bag after the party.
It's so funny being in other arenas and listening to, or even on the TV, if you listen to the music and the atmosphere that's happening. What did I hear in Joe Louis Arena? At one point I heard, make some noise.
Yeah.
So obviously that's something going around the league.
Well, probably a standard sound clip, kind of like,
I don't know what it's from.
Power play.
But that's the other thing.
That's Dean Brown.
Their power play is our penalty kill.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? The dragnet. Dun, 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 dun.
Yep.
They play that for a
dun,
power play.
Dun, 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 dun.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found it weird.
That is a bit peculiar. I'll give you that.
I've heard that before.
Toronto's in Buffalo tonight, I believe.
Yep. It might be a three-point game now, too.
The Maple Leafs, this is something I just caught before I came out here tonight. Toronto is 1-14-1 in their last 16 games in Buffalo. Whoa. So that's got to be what, over the past four seasons, roughly?
1-14-1?
Yeah. That's roughly four seasons, because some seasons are
18 games.
Eight games, some games three, six.
Four.
At least three seasons.
4 years.
One, four to five. That's an incredible record.
It's 4-3 Buffalo with 5 minutes left.
So Buffalo's about to win again?
Yep.
Because they won twice against Arizona.
Yeah, they're screwing this up, eh?
They won twice against Arizona on Saturday and Tuesday. Now, that leads into something I actually wanted to talk about very seriously.
They lost that one.
What? Buffalo won both. 5-1 and 4-1. Didn't they?
No, because Buffalo lost in overtime and then their fans cheered.
Oh, I wrote down the wrong game score.
The fans cheered the loss and players lost their minds over.
Because their players were getting upset about it. You're right. So never mind about that. But I got into a very long and in-depth discussion on Monday with Russell about playoffs positioning being the lead-in to where you draft. And this was actually a serious conversation that we were having. We weren't just joking around and being annoyed about what was going on. But the way that it sits now is they reward poor performance. The worse you are, the better your draft pick. And they're trying to avoid the whole tanking thing this year with, you know, any team can move up and next year they're going to have more of them in play. I think they've got the model backwards.
Yeah, next year's going to be even worse.
I think they've got the model backwards. The team that finishes 17th should get the first overall draft pick.
Yep.
Which one's 17th?
The first team out of the playoffs.
First team out of the playoffs should get top pick. I like it.
Because that gives you something to strive for, not suck for.
Yep.
And if you're a really bad team, yes, it makes it harder to improve your team, so work harder. But as soon as you make it, the worse you are, the better the reward, then you see things like Buffalo, where you dismantle your team. You trade away both starting goalies. You trade away as much star talent as you can to get draft picks because you're rebuilding, but you're also building the momentum to make sure nobody's worse than you are and you're guaranteed one of the top two picks.
Yep.
And that really bugs me because you're rewarding a lack of success. I don't want to say you're rewarding failure. That's not it. You're rewarding a lack of success rather than rewarding effort.
I don't think you're going to see the same model again.
Well, next year it's changing anyway.
Next year they're changing? I think they'll still talk about it.
The difference is your parity in the top two picks that you're going to get. They're just those players, right? With McDavid and Eichel.
Well, and if it was any
franchise. If it was anyone any other year, I don't think it'd be this bad.
But you're still going to have one.
It would even be better to have...
There's always one player who everybody wants.
It would even be better to have all non-playoff teams be put in the lottery and just equal. Take them out.
Well, that's...
Put them all in it equally then.
Yeah. That'd still be better. Yeah. But I like your idea.
Well, why not? Russell and I were talking about this at some length. Well, why not make it... The harder you try to get into the playoffs, the better... I mean, you can still weight it as a lottery. Don't make it automatically whatever team is first out of the playoffs, but weight it so the harder you try, the more chance you have of drafting and getting better. Not the more you dismantle, the more you set yourself up for failure to achieve success later on.
Tanking's no fun. And we've joked about it, but it's not fun.
I honestly feel sorry for the players left in Buffalo who have expiring contracts. Because the guys who still have term, they'll still be there. They still have a job next year. But everybody whose contract is expiring this year, who's going to look at them and say, oh, well, they were minus 27 and they only had, five goals and they were on a team that was the worst in the league. Why would we want to look at them? Like, that could be career ending.
Matt Ellis is the only one they have. And Mezeros.
And Andre Benoit.
Benoit.
Mezeros is only 29 years old, by the way. Can
really?
You believe that? I looked it up today because I thought he was about 33, 34. No, he's 29. He's been around a long time.
So he's McCulloch's age?
Yeah.
which is also scary that McCauley's only
29. He's 20. Only 29, but he's been playing really well until he took that high hit the other day. Anyway, that was just my thinking on playoff ranking, just because it was...
I think the league just is waiting for someone to come out of the woodwork to win it. Because with the 20% chance to win, that was supposed to be the motivation of just, well, the chances are low, so we're just going to try anyway.
But they have, with this draft in particular, we don't get McDavid, we still get Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are teams...
and I think that's why next year they're going to do first, second, and third is the lottery picks. Because then you're falling to fourth as the worst team, possibly.
That might not be so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's
you can't change that overnight.
Just no. To get the right thing. They should, but they won't. Everything gets dragged out. Look at what overtime has been going to and shootouts have been, how long it's taken to get any traction on changing that. Even when, you know, most GMs agree, yeah, we don't like games being decided in a shootout, but we're not going to change overtime. Last night, Alex Ovechkin scored his 50th goal of the season. Yep. And tonight, Crosby scored his 300th goal of his career. Two nice little milestones. I'm running out of things to talk about, but I had a possibility if we wanted to add a few more minutes to this podcast.
Sure.
Okay. Why not? This is on Monday afternoon. It was a little slow on the midday show on the radio. So Steve Lloyd decided to play a game with Todd White, which was the 20 questions with Todd White, just to let people know a little bit more about him. So I'm going to throw questions at you and just throw the answers at me. These have nothing to do with hockey, by the way.
White.
This is personal questions?
Well,
get to know you questions?
Not intimate detail questions, but personal detail questions. Yeah. And I will answer them as well. It's just completely different. Things like, how do you like your steak cooked?
Medium.
Medium.
Okay. I like mine bloody. Chicago, specifically. If not, I'll just go with regular.
Flame-kissed.
That's right. Crank your grill up to 500 or 600 degrees, 45 seconds aside, done.
never tried it, though. I'd be willing to try.
It's good. I love it. But it's really hard to find a place that will do
I'm
it Chicago.
I'm going to challenge you on that. And I've been eating burgers all month.
So. I eat steak. I love steak that way. It's great.
Oh, man.
I'd be willing to try.
Okay, next question. Your favorite clothing style. For example, mine is shorts and sandals.
Suit.
Bloody. Oh, wait. That's a good one. Short sleeve tee over long sleeve tee. Baggy jeans.
Okay. You like a suit?
I do.
Okay.
That's I'm sick of that. Suits. Every friggin' day for 10 years.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Right now, it's Ottawa for me.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. For me, would it be Cape Cod?
This is my house.
You could live anywhere in the world and you want to be here.
Well, not really.
Well, mine would be Cape Cod. Now, that's not necessarily,
I think I want to say,
not necessarily your favorite place in the world, but where would you like to live? I actually thought about saying a Caribbean island because I've been to several of them.
San Diego, maybe?
San Francisco.
San Diego. Yeah. San Francisco still gets cold. San Diego is like 20, 22 all year round.
Warm all the time.
Yeah. I haven't been to San Diego.
Yeah, fair enough.
Haven't no, either. So that's why I'm hesitant. But
in San Fran, you're close enough to hockey too.
Okay. Last movie you saw. You can see it anywhere.
In Divergent movie, Insurgents.
Okay. Pan, last movie you saw?
You better go first because I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, this doesn't have to be in the cinema. It can be on TV.
Oh.
No, it was.
Yeah, still the same.
Okay, so it was. Okay, mine was different. I just saw I saw a repeat of The Avengers on TV recently. The last movie I saw in a cinema. Now, this shows you how often I go to the cinema.
Because you call it a cinema?
Because that's what it is. A theater has a stage. And it's something that you put people on.
Listeners, you see what I have to deal with all the time.
It's the truth. The last movie I saw in the cinema was the reboot of Star Trek. So that'd be what?
The first one?
Yeah,
probably four.
Four or five years ago?
Yeah.
Good flick. Good flick.
It was a very good movie. I enjoyed it. Because that came out after Avatar, which was the other movie I saw recently in a cinema.
Good Lord.
Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Oh.
Very cool.
Which, okay, I don't remember that one.
It's silly. Brand new.
Silly.
Okay.
Like it's kind of like half action, half comedy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Couple more questions for you. Your favorite cuisine? Just to eat, not to make, but your favorite food to eat. This is a tough one.
Sure as hell ain't Big Macs.
It's a very tough one.
I love my dim sum.
Dim sum is good.
I love dim sum.
I was going to go with Indian. I love Indian food.
I'm going to just say Greek for the fun of it.
I was going to say Mexican. But that's the one I can find the most. My absolute favorite, but that's very difficult to find, is Cuban. But it's very, very difficult to find real Cuban.
It's a place in D.C.
There's a place in Old Ottawa South.
There's this guy in Dallas.
There's a place in Old Ottawa South that has fantastic Cuban food, but it's the only restaurant in Ottawa that I know that does that, which is why I would say Mexican, because I love Mexican food. I mean, I like Italian, and I like Asian, and I like Indian, and I like Greek, but I'd have to go with Mexican overall if I can't get Cuban, which are very different, by the way. You'd love Cuban food. There's no heat.
Okay.
It's very savory. There's no heat at all.
Apparently, because I'm going to Spain in May, apparently the food there is terrible.
That's well, have you seen the economy? It's not good over there. Best live music performance you've ever been to?
Ooh.
I don't go to that many.
Well, it can be any sort of music, because mine is not a rock concert. I've been to, I worked hundreds of rock concerts in my
life. When Alex plays Japandroids.
That's not a live music performance. No. That's just playing a recording. Fine. A concert, anything. How about you?
Thinking.
Okay, I'll tell you mine. I mean, I've been to a lot of concerts and I really enjoy them, but the most amazing live music experience I've ever had was 3 summers ago in Bretton Flats. After Blues Fest, they left one of the stages up and the NAC Orchestra played a series of concerts. And one night, really? They were doing an entire concert of Gershwin. Rhapsody in Blue, American in Paris. You'd know it if you heard it, probably. It's fairly well known.
I thought he played for the Sabres.
And after...
Gergensen.
They had a pianist who was in, who was coming into town for Chamber Fest, because that year the Chamber Music Festival was doing all the Beethoven piano concertos, all of them. And he was coming into town to play several of them. And he was playing with the orchestra during this Gershwin concert. And at the end of it, he went over to Pinchas Zukerman, the maestro, and said, "Can I play something else? I'm really enjoying it." And he said, "Stage is yours. Do as you like." And it was about 8:30 at night. The sun was just setting over the river. And he played the Moonlight Sonata.
Ah.
And it was breathtaking. It was absolutely breathtaking to just sit in this beautiful field on a beautiful, warm summer night, listening to a master pianist play a very well-known piece of music. It was just mind-blowing. Nothing complicated, but really an amazing, amazing experience. But if it's a rock concert, I mean, other than Rush, I would say Neil Diamond.
I don't know.
I don't go to that many.
I've been to so many different musical things.
I very
things.
Much enjoyed yeah. Weezer.
It's hard to say.
Stuff at the NAC to, you know, performing, being part of a group and different things.
Okay.
To, you know, things like
That's
going
fine.
To see Sting. And
Sting was a great show. I saw him.
Police, when they came through, it's a little dated, but... Still Neil fun. Diamond.
Yeah. Neil Diamond was an amazing show. I was working that show, and that was in the late 90s. It was just a phenomenal experience to just watch. But I enjoyed it greatly. All right. I don't really have any more questions for you. All right. So, anything else? I don't know if my
week ahead?
I was about to try and do that, but my internet connection isn't working yet.
Mine just went to hell, too. So,
here we go.
Tomorrow.
You got it?
Yep.
Okay.
Biggest game of the year.
The biggest game of the year. Tampa's coming here.
Yes.
Saturday, the next biggest game of the year. Capitals.
Ovechkin.
To Ottawa.
Followed by
back-to-back, but the Leafs play the night before, too. Biggest game of the year, because that's our game in hand.
Yes, that's right.
Against the Leafs in Toronto. And then the last game at home during the regular season, Tuesday against the Penguins.
4 games. Busy schedule.
Yep.
Thursday. There's only 2 left after that.
Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday.
This is it. But the next time we record, it's probably, chances are, we know what's going to happen.
Or it's going to be really close like it is now.
Yeah. I hope it is. I hope it's really close because that means we're still on it.
It's fun. And it's fun.
It's tense.
But we're about one night away from it happening. Like, it could happen last night. Like, Boston won, Capitals won, and Detroit had gotten 2 points on us. And
We've had some nights where the results are exactly what we needed, and others where it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Actually, the last game of the year is also because my buddy Jay's a Rangers fan first, and he noticed on the schedule the last game is an afternoon game against the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
If that's to clinch a playoffs, he's not going to watch it. Because if you remember, this is going back a bunch of years now, the Flyers made it to the playoffs by beating the Rangers in the shootout and then made it to the cup final against Chicago.
Hmm.
So.
Be tough?
Yeah.
I have to see.
No. Should be fun, though.
He's that bitter?
You know what? At least he doesn't want to watch it because he doesn't want to jinx it.
Ah, well, I can see that.
And then, yeah, then the other nice part about that is we play at 12:30. The Bruins play at 7.
Oh.
So that could be a massive scoreboard watch where you only get it on game
so time. We'll be drinking next Saturday or two Saturdays.
If you're lucky.
Am I here? I am.
The 11th?
Yep.
Your way this week.
Yeah, if we
might have to do an emergency episode. Actually, that'll be after next week.
If we were to win on Saturday, so we're up and it's all about the Bruins losing to make sure we get in. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is going to be like Toronto a few years.
Remember, be a train wreck.
Remember Toronto a few years ago? Basically, the New York Islanders, New Jersey, New York Islanders. New Jersey had to win. They didn't play Brodeur. They
Wait, played Dubulchik.
Dublowitz.
Dublowitz.
Dublowitz. Went to a shootout.
Polchek.
Went That's to a right. shootout. And that was their playoff.
There might be a lot of Smiling Jerry's that afternoon. That'd be very, very bad. You don't know what a Smiling Jerry is.
No.
It's a Ryan Coke and a screwdriver in the same glass.
That's just a hodgepodge of everything.
It doesn't look very good, but it tastes fantastic.
Smiling Jerry's?
Smiling Jerry.
It's better than a Jolly Roger.
I've been on the Jolly Roger. Barbados. All right. Well, that's the week to come. We'd love some email next week. We got quite a few, got several last week, which was always gives us things to talk about. So we're not sitting here talking about our favorite concerts and movies and so on. But hey, now you know a little bit more about us. 3 years in, know a little bit more about us.
Yeah, you're closing that door now, too.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, open it a little bit, close it again. So you can email us at podcast@sendscollops.com. You can always contact us via Twitter, via Facebook, the online forums, the game threads. I haven't been in them in the past couple of games just because I've had too many other things going on. It's a very, very busy week for me, but the game threads are always entertaining, especially when the game's stressful. There's usually jokes being or funny clips being posted or jokes, funny pictures,
people
something.
People just liking things.
TJ is really trying to shift anti-hate. This hatred thing. It's like, look, I'm liking. I like.
It's a character shift. It's kind of fun. So join those. You can also call the waiver wire at 844-SCU-6565 if you need to vent about something or you want to ask a question or whatever. We'll be back next week, we hope. I presume so. It won't be quite as busy as this week. In the meantime, if anybody's traveling for the Easter weekend, please be safe. We want you to get through it all. We'll be back next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Good night.
Later.